Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. For a couple of months now, we've been posting all of our Heart of the Matter programs on both our Heart of the Matter sermon audio page and then also our Pilgrim's Covenant Church sermon audio page. But we're going to discontinue our Heart of the Matter page, that is our sermon audio Heart of the Matter page. And in fact, it'll be down by the end of the month. And so this is the last program we're going to be posting on it. So from now on, the Heart of the Matter will be heard exclusively on our Pilgrim's Covenant Church sermon audio page, and we do plan on having some very interesting, worthwhile programs in the coming months. For today, we're going to go to a previously aired Heart of the Matter, and here it is. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Now, last week, during the course of this program, we spoke of, well, we spoke of many things, but we spoke of Western celebrity evangelists and ministers who are, simply put, useful stooges. They are propaganda tools in the hands of those persecuting the true Church of Christ in places such as Red China or North Korea or the former Soviet Union. That's not me speaking. That's what the persecuted church tells us. That's what we know for a fact. Now, in the course of that program, I said that I would share some information on the Grahams, Billy, Franklin, and Ned. So I had better share that information because I said I would. And anytime one brings up the Grahams, you've touched a raw nerve with certain individuals. So we better follow through here and provide a little bit of documentation from an ocean of such documentation that we could resort to make the point that these Western evangelists and ministers who are used, who play the useful stooge for those persecuting the true church, that group includes the Grahams, perhaps headed up by the Grahams, quite frankly. Now, no doubt most of you are familiar with Billy Graham's track record of being used as a propaganda tool back into the 80s we could go. Speak of the Soviet Union, he has been used as a propaganda tool to betray faithful Christians in communist countries. Now, Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." That certainly would seem to apply to Billy Graham. As a Christian, and unfortunately we have to put quotes around that word when we're talking about Billy Graham, has a Christian evangelist ever been as well known and as well spoken of by the world? And even well spoken of by the corrupt media, by wicked tyrants, even by the Roman Catholic hierarchy and Protestant apostates such as the ungodly Bishop Desmond Tutu? Has any Christian evangelist ever been that favored by such apostates, such tyrants, such wicked people as Billy Graham? About the only ones who don't speak well of Graham are Christians concerned with right doctrine and with the true church and with remaining faithful to the Word of God. And now they speak favorably of him, these tyrants, these wicked people, these perverters of true doctrine, the Roman Catholic hierarchy, Protestant apostates, and so on and so forth. And, of course, Billy Graham does return the favor. For instance, I have in front of me, we have files all over here. And I just pulled out some things on the Grahams. I only have so much time here, so we pulled out some things, and I have some help, and we're going to present some things to you. And here I have a press release, and it's when President Jiang Zemin from China, the Red Chinese boss, visited America. And, of course, he met with Billy Graham to discuss religious life, it says, in the United States and China. Well, how did Mr. Graham find this persecutor of our brethren? How did this Billy Graham find this enemy of religious liberty, of civil liberty, certainly of the true gospel and the true church? How did Mr. Graham find this persecutor to be? Well, he said of the president of China, "I found the president to be very warm and personable. I told him I felt that he had a very successful trip," and of course it was a propaganda trip, "and hoped that he would come again for a more extensive visit. I doubt if the persecuted church in China seconded those remarks." Now, last week we talked about that China, that Red Chinese state church apparatus consisting of the China Church Council, the Three Self Patriotic Movement. Those are the instruments which rule the state church. Of course, the Chinese, the Red Chinese, I should say, buy those instruments, those organs. And there is the, of course, Religious Affairs Bureau. So we talked about this. This is that state church apparatus, that registered church apparatus by which the Red Chinese say they have religious liberty in China and by which they attempt to lure in Christians so that they can control them and mandate the preaching of a perverted gospel. And of course, never ever allow the preaching of the truth that Christ is the head of the church, not the civil government. Christ is the head of the church. Now, China Church Council, the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the Religious Affairs Bureau. Remember those three organizations or organs of the Red Chinese government. Because we're going to move on to the next generation of Grahams, and I tell you, the apples have not fallen far from the tree. I mentioned Billy and Ruth's son, Ned. Well, for many years, he's been the president of East Gates Ministry, which operates in China with the communist government's full approval and cooperation and friendship and interaction. Now, over the years, I've read Ned's ministry reports. We used to get them, not because we supported the ministry, but because we were reporting on any number of different things. And that's one of the issues we had taken up, of course, quite often, the persecuted church and also the type of people we're talking about today, the Grahams. Now, one of the things Eastgate does is print Bibles with the permission of China's red bosses. Those Bibles are printed by Amnesty Press, which is controlled and run by the China Church Council, the CCC. Now, doesn't that sound good? Bibles for China. Yet those Bibles are used by the government to identify unlicensed Christians. Although Ned trusts the communist word that they're not doing that. But individuals who are not part of the state church and individuals being influenced by the unregistered church are identified, and then they can be watched and eventually persecuted. They're identified when they come for a Bible. Well, how is that when they buy one of these Bibles? Well, this is how it is. The Chinese Christian has to make application and register with the government to get a Bible, and he has to provide all the personal information requested. And, of course, those Bibles are distributed not just that way, I say to people that come that are not part of the registered church, perhaps, that want a Bible, but also they're distributed within the registered church for propaganda purposes. But rather than give you a history of Eastgate's ministry, I'll just turn to a number of quotes from Ned Graham's newsletters and publications, quotes which speak for themselves in the context of our subject matter today and last week and really for the past several weeks. And by the way, I've never seen one of these Bibles he prints. Of course, it'd be in Chinese, which I would not be the person to try to read that. I don't know which dialect of Chinese it's in. But who knows how faithful these Bibles would truly be. Now, we'll get to some quotes here. Then after that, I'll share just a few more quotes from Franklin Rock the River Graham, Ned's brother. Now, let me first say that these quotes represent the consistent, unrepudiated ministry, philosophy, and strategy and doctrine of Ned Graham. In reality, of Billy and Franklin also and others of their ilk. And we'll be talking about others of their ilk, including next week, including a situation here in America in which American Christians who are out on the street sharing the gospel with Muslims have come under attack by, well, none other than the sort of people we're talking about, quite frankly. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next week. Now, I'm going to look at these ministry letters from Ned Graham and some of his other publications. I will tell you, I've read these, and they are masterpieces of confusion and sophistry in many ways. They make Ned look like the best friend even the unregistered Christian in China ever had, which, of course, that's not true. Ned is one of the best friends the state church apparatus ever had, that the communists ever had, but he is not a friend of the unregistered Christians in China. Now, we spoke of that whole communist apparatus last week, and again, I'll just remind you, Religious Affairs Bureau, the China Christian Council, the Three South Patriotic Movement. All right, here we have a letter from Ned Graham. I'm just going to be quoting excerpts. This would have been sent out in 2005. He says, looking back over the past 15 years, it's hard to really know where to begin to describe all that God has accomplished through Eastgate Ministries. Jumping ahead, Eastgates was the first Christian organization to negotiate a contract with the China Christian Council to legally print and distribute Bibles strictly, he says, to house church believers across China through Project Light. Well, of course, they want to make sure they can identify all these people. Now, again, China Christian Council, he has a contract with them. That's part of the ruling apparatus of the state church. This accessibility to Bibles now negates the need for Bible smuggling that endangers local believers. Well, maybe the local believers want to smuggle in those Bibles. Maybe they want to distribute them, not just to the people that the state church and the government wants to distribute the Bibles to. Eastgates has hosted numerous delegations representing the United Front Work Department, the State Administration of Religious Affairs, and the China Christian Council. Through these diplomatic activities, we have had a direct and positive influence on some of China's key religious policies concerning the practice of Christianity in China. What influence? Nothing but bad that we've heard of. We have established close to 250 mini libraries and distribution points in every single province in China, including Tibet. Through these locations, we distribute not only Bibles, and again, how many, to who, and they have to register, but a wide variety of evangelical Christian literature, from apologetics and theological works to books. Well, by who? Well, I'll give you some names you might recognize. John Maxwell, it says, Rick Warren, Josh McDowell, we'll be talking about him next week, and he says, my father and mother, Billy and Ruth Graham. Now, we spoke briefly of Rick Warren's relationship to the Chinese state church apparatus last week. He has a warm relationship. He's poured his books into China. Well, good for him. It's a mutually beneficial relationship these people have. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about Josh McDowell and what's going on in this country with the smearing of some sincere evangelists. And then Ned says, we helped the Jesus Film Project get started in China. Of course, that is an idolatrous film, and worse. Now, this is from the 20th anniversary edition of the Eastgates newsletter. This would have been sent out in 2010. Again, just a few excerpts. In the autumn of 1989, I made my first visit to the People's Republic of China. It was a pivotal trip as God opened doors at many levels. Anytime these guys go, it's always a pivotal trip when these guys go into a closed country. But it never is good for the true church. But it's always as if I've arrived now. What would you do without me? Here I am. You know, these people have been true to the Savior through years and decades of suffering. And they've spread the gospel. And they found ways to get Bibles. They have preached the gospel without apology. They've held firm to Christ as head of the church. And then these guys come in. I'm here. Everything's going to be great now. Ned Graham goes on, I had the opportunity to meet with top leaders within China's government and religious departments, such as Bishop, I don't know if I should start pronouncing these names, Shengyi Fang, Bishop K.H. Ting, Reverend Han Wenzhao, and others. Now, these are all state church officials. You heard Bob Fu speak of Bishop Ting last week. He's that treacherous wolf who teaches justification by love. We'll talk about him a little bit more later. And then also Dr. Wenzhao Han, who is the president of the China Christian Council. And Ned Graham says, we knew God's approach was never political, but spiritual. Really? Well, your approach is certainly political. And I don't know if all of you realize, but the Grahams are very political. During the 90s, when the fight was on for most favored nation status for China, which they should have never gotten, but they did, the Grahams were right in there feverishly working for MFN for China. Let me go on. To assist the growing church in China, we needed to engage the leadership to help them better understand their growing Christian population. Well, there you go. It's just a matter of misunderstanding. It just took an American evangelist to come in and set things straight, as well as to help reconcile the deep hurts existent between the open and house church leaders and registered and unregistered believers. In other words, to try to corrupt the faithful Christians on behalf of the government and woo them in, apparently, into this registered church, because that's what the government has in mind anyway. The first step was to work at the top and dialogue with Chinese government and the primary entities that represented their religious and Christian ideological positions. And there it is, the Religious Affairs Bureau, which is just a bunch of thugs, by the way. We had experience with them, as we told you about last week, the Three South Patriotic Movement and the China Christian Council. Ned says, through godly wisdom, patience, and perseverance, we were given favor with the RABTSPM and CCC officials. So he boasts that it was their godly wisdom, patience, and perseverance that caused the communist religious apparatus to look at them and say, we can use these people. These are useful stooges. Ned says they began to see how giving the opportunity for millions of house church believers to receive Bibles would, quote, only be advantageous for them. Yes. So they could register these people, so they could follow them, so they could also have this propaganda tool, we gave them Bibles. So surely there's religious liberty in China. I mean, this is the way it works. I mean, we're just giving you some insight into how these people operate. We need to beware of these wolves. Ned goes on, contracts were signed with the promise that after house church believers provided the proper identification comparable to, he says, a social security number in the U.S., Eastgates would give the permission to legally distribute Bibles to them, or would be given that permission throughout China without restriction. Now, back up. It's not without restriction. And beyond that, they give them information as beyond the social security number. But what if it was just like the social security number in the U.S.? Is that just fine and dandy? Do you think it'd be right in the U.S. if we had to go in and we go into a store, wherever it is, we'd like to purchase a Bible? You must give us your social security number. I mean, what kind of thinking is this? Would you like these people to have say here in America with regard to religious liberty? Eastgates would be given the permission. Okay, I already said that. In addition, the promise was made to those house church believers who signed up for a Bible, that they would not be tracked down or harassed. To date, Eastgate has distributed close to 3.5 million Bibles throughout every province, and that promise has been kept. Now, let's back up. What is it? How long have they been distributing Bibles? A couple of decades? What is 3.5 million Bibles in China? I mean, it's a lot of Bibles, but I'm just saying, this is propaganda. This is to register these people so they can watch them closer. The idea being, if they're willing to come out and actually sign up for a Bible, we better watch these people. They want that Bible bad, and these people we need to watch. And no, they haven't kept their promise. Communists never keep their promises, of course, and those people have been tracked down and harassed. But let's go to some other quotes. We need to move along. We have so much ground to cover. Quoting from Ned Graham, newsletters. But you know what? In the quoting, this gives you some insight into the mind, you might say, the doctrine these people hold with regard to their truly a political self-serving doctrine for going into these countries and betraying the faithful Christians for the advance of their own reputation, in some cases their financial welfare as well. Let's just read a few things. I'm just going to just go very quickly here, just here and there. Here he speaks of often exaggerated reports of persecution continue to be circulated in America. The truth is far different. He says Protestant evangelical Christians who are not involved in political anti-government activities and who obey the law, in other words, register with the church and attend the state church, are seldom persecuted today for simply practicing their faith in Jesus Christ. So all you have to do is obey man rather than God, and we ought to obey God rather than man. And just sign up and be part of the state church apparatus, betray Christ even, and you'll be fine. You'll be just fine. I mean, think what these people go through in China. How would we do? We're not saying, oh, we're so brave and bold and we would just go over there and we would just, you know, face the tyrant and hurl defiance into his teeth. That's not why I'm doing these programs. I'm just telling you there are people with great courage over there, faithful Christians, and they are being betrayed. And it's not just in China, it's in other places. And we're just seeing a little insight into the mind of these kind of these self-centered neo-evangelical betrayers of the brethren, because they're in this country too. We've run into them. We've had our run-ins with these people. While in Beijing, we met with our old friend, I'm not going to say the name, last name's Wen, director of the Religious Affairs Bureau. That's an arm of the communist state police, really. That whole intelligence police apparatus of the Chinese government. But this guy's Ned Graham's old friend. I don't think he's the old friend of too many faithful Christians in China. We're jumping to another one. Beginning in 1992, Eastgates reached out to the Chinese authority who oversee religious affairs in China. Since then, we have hosted a number of delegations from China, maintaining and expanding the friendships they have developed. That means in America. In January and February this year, we hosted two delegations to the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., you know, where they could really influence politicians. One delegation consisted of the director of the Religious Affairs Bureau and members of his staff. And it just goes on here in a similar vein and talking about how wonderful this is. Talks about the other delegation to the prayer breakfast was the president of the China Christian Council and the general secretary of the Three South Patriotic Movement. Let's just throw that down and grab another one here. Here he says, when you read or hear of news on religious persecution in China, it's important to form an educated opinion versus a purely emotional response. Here are some good questions to ask. He has a number of questions. The first one is, how did the conflict begin? So suddenly it's a conflict. Religious persecution? No, it's a conflict between two parties suddenly. What's going on here? And then he asks a number of questions. He ends with the seventh one and the eighth one. What are the Christian beliefs of the local pastor and the believers? What is their faith practice? Is it based on truth or heresy? This is the man, well, you'll see this man, what his view of truth is in a little while with regard to the doctrine of justification. But anyway, you know, this is what matters. Oh, they're persecuting these Christians and these pastors. Well, what really are their Christian beliefs? I guess persecution's okay if they've got some doctrine that would not be orthodox, perhaps. I don't know, that Ned says isn't orthodox. Here we have a big page with a map of China. It shows all the things that Eastgates is doing in China. How about supporting training centers? How about providing for the purchase, construction, expansion of churches and meeting points? How about this? Equipping seminaries, providing scholarships, funding outreach projects. You say that sounds good. Well, how about this? Educating churches and organizations that are interested in the church in China situation. No, it doesn't sound good. Those seminaries, those scholarships to those seminaries, those churches that are being built, those training centers, it's all to train up people that will be useful pawns for the state. This is not training up faithful Christians. This is educating people to be good little red Chinese, quote, Christians, unquote. Throw that one aside. Grab another one. We have a great big stack of these. Here he talks about Bishop Ting, the former chairman of the Three South Patriotic Movement, and he goes on talking about the president of the China Christian Council and the president of a theological seminary and his interaction with them and how wonderful that was. And here he has a picture of a state church, a registered church, and it's packed, and the caption is, "The harvest is great." And so he's promoting the registered church. While we hear from, and we have heard through intermediates, that this registered church is nothing but a trap, and it is nothing but the state church, and they will not allow the ministers to preach the whole counsel of God's word, and to preach that Christ is the head of the church is definitely not allowed. And it is a false gospel preached, but no, it's a wonderful harvest. Well, it is a harvest, isn't it? It's a great harvest. but it's a harvest of apostasy and betrayal, thanks to people like Ned Graham. Here we have a building project where Eastgate's had the privilege of assisting in the building of the largest church in this particular city. And they provided for much of the expense and the pews and the sound system. Can you imagine that? Building churches for the Red Chinese government to impress the world with. Oh, where do we stop here? We have so many things. I see in the past I highlighted all sorts of things. Let me read you this. I hope I don't sound choppy. This year, East Gates Australia worked in sponsoring Reverend, well, anyway, he's the Associate General Secretary for the China Church Council and two Chinese delegates to visit Sydney and Brisbane. Let me drop down. Reverend Bayo, that was China Christian Council General Secretary, and the delegates were able to visit churches and Bible colleges in Sydney and Brisbane in Australia, educating the locals on the church in China. All right, it was a propaganda tour again, and there it is, up to his eyeballs, Ned Graham and Eastgate Ministries. He says Eastgate believes partnerships like this are invaluable as they prove to be mutually beneficial for all. Yeah, truer words were never spoken as far as all involved, the Red Chinese State Church and Eastgate Ministries. Just a couple more. Here's one. This newsletter article speaks of fringe groups, including extreme fundamentalists, talking of Protestants, it says, extreme fundamentalists. Then it says this: the fringe groups, however, tend to get a lot more attention from some overseas ministries that report their activities for fundraising purposes. In other words, that sounds like the party line that he's parroting. These fringe groups, these fundamentalist Christians, they get all this attention just for people to raise money out of it. And as he says, because these fringe groups frequently violate Chinese law, in other words, they're not registered, it's reported that they are persecuted, when in fact the Chinese authorities are oftentimes doing their best to weed out the extremists while protecting legitimate religious activities. Legitimate religious activities defined as legitimate by the communist governors of China. And so they just are weeding out the extremists. Isn't that a nice way to put it? Here's a message from Billy and Ruth Graham, but it's on Eastgate's stationery, so to speak, in one of their newsletters. We admire Ned and his longstanding commitment to work legally in China with both the open, read, state-controlled, corrupted, registered church, and house churches. Isn't that something? He's working with the open church and the house churches, and it's legal. He's working legally. We're all for legality, but not when that means that we betray our persecuted brethren, not when that means to be legal means to betray the true church and the true Christ. Now, remember Bishop Ting, of whom Bob Fu spoke of last week and of whom Ned Graham spoke of so highly and that it's his friend? This is excerpted from a very long article from Amnesty News Service. Remember them? The CCC, the Chinese Christian Council, the organ of the state. The subject is Ned Graham's friend then, Bishop Ting, the state church official, that teaches justification by love. Listen to this. Bishop Ting describes Jesus as the lonely man, homeless and self-forgetful, with his outpouring of love and sympathy, his suffering and agony, his tender words on the cross, and the final victory over ruthless power. Now remember, as I read this is what's being taught in the registered churches. He lived and died as one who loves, a true lover. Combined with this image is that of Jesus, the cosmic Christ. Lest Christians be fixated by the image of Jesus, the Christ, being crucified on the cross, Ting hastens to emphasize that Jesus, the cosmic Christ, always has been present, sustaining all creation. The triune God of love is concerned with both creation and redemption. In Bishop Ting's view, and this is the official party line, and Bishop Ting is part of this, this represents accurately what he teaches. Quote, this is Bishop Ting, "It is not that God carried on his work of creation for 6 days and then stopped and ceded its control to the successful rebellion of Satan, and then the Redeemer came into the world to rescue some individuals out of it, to be returned to God, leaving all others to eternal damnation. To believe that would be to say that the incarnation of the Son of God has made less of an impact on humanity than the fall of Adam. Jesus, notes Bishop Ting, never made belief or unbelief the standard for whether a person went to heaven or hell. None of us knows the end of history, but we are confident in faith that it will be the triumph of love and grace as God, the great lover, works out divine purposes. Practically a banyan tree type of theology that understands God as love and Jesus as both the great lover and cosmic Christ provides great shelter and hope for the Chinese people and church. This theology affirms that it is not God's will for the masses to suffer or for evil to prosper in the political process. It reminds persons that God is not all-powerful, in control of every event in their life, but that God is all-loving, caring about every event in their life. It lays an understanding that socialism could possibly be love organized for the masses of the people and helping them to live more decently than previous models of economic government have permitted. It opens the door for an evangelical witness to a loving God active in nature and history to make human life more human. Ting's Christology even helps us to understand why atheism is not the last word and opens the door for Christian participation with humanistic atheists and communists in seeking to better the social order. The cosmic Christ is at work in the world. As Ting's wife, Siu Mei, once said, quote, "As Chinese Christians, we do not see Christianity and socialist China as opposed to each other. It is God working, whether in his name or not." Well, that's one of Ned Graham's dear Christian friends, Chinese Christian friends, that false teacher, that leader of the state church apparatus, that red puppet of the red Chinese tyrants. And that's the sort of theology that's being taught in that state church. And to make all this more amazing, Ned Graham often speaks in his newsletter, the problem of bad doctrine being taught in China. Well, perhaps he's speaking of the doctrine that Christ Jesus is the only head of the church. Christ Jesus, not the civil government. We need to move on. Last week, I spoke of the arrogant nature of big-headed, compromised Western evangelicals who think Christ just can't build his church in China or the Soviet Union or North Korea without their precious corrupting presence, which in reality brings sorrow and hurt to faithful Christians, and it strengthens the tyrants and the state church propaganda apparatus. And of course, at the same time, it builds the reputation, financial support base of those celebrity evangelicals, those evangelists and ministers, doesn't it? Now, let's go on. Let's go on just a little on Franklin Graham, enough to show he has the same philosophy and strategy as Billy and Ned. And, we're not sitting here safe and sound trying to talk big or something. The point is we have a concern for these courageous brethren who are taking a stand, literally are taking a stand in these different countries and suffering for their faithfulness to Christ. We're speaking up for them. It's not because we're anything at all. It's not because we think, oh, we just walk over, step into their shoes, and we would be so courageous and such a good witness. We pray to God that we could be faithful to Christ in every situation. But we're talking about reality here. We're talking about the suffering, persecuted church. And I tell you, last week we talked about those ministry events where we confronted this red Chinese state church apparatus here in America twice. And afterwards, we received word from the persecuted church in China, from some particular persecuted Christians in China through a third party, that they very much appreciated what we did here in America. And so I think we're on the right track here, aren't we? Trying to stand up for the persecuted church and expose these things. But let's just go to Franklin Graham. We're just going to, just grab some things here and put them before you to show that Franklin Graham is cut from the same cloth as Billy and Ned. For instance, here is an article, 2008. Do you remember this? Franklin Graham preaches to 12,000 in mainland China. Franklin Graham preached to some 12,000 people in mainland China on Sunday at the largest church in the country. Now, I know in the Ned Graham newsletter, he said that the church that they were helping to build would be the largest church in the country. Now, I don't know if that is that church, but isn't that interesting, you know, that Ned would help the Reds build that church as a propaganda showpiece, and then Franklin comes over and preaches in it. It's a registered state church, of course. He preached May 11th. Let me go on. I'm trying to decide what quotes we want to read here. This was the same trip. Okay, that's what I wanted to get to. Evangelist Franklin Graham visits China ahead of Olympics. I should be giving credit for where I'm reading these from, shouldn't I? That was the Christian Post last time. What is this? Looks like the Associated Press this time. And then I'll go to the Christian Post again. All right. The son of American evangelist Billy Graham said Friday he is opposed to missionary work at this summer's Beijing Olympic Games. All right. You want to hear that one again? Should we back up? This is May 9, 2008. The son of American evangelist Billy Graham said Friday, this is in the Associated Press, he is opposed to missionary work at this summer's Beijing Olympic Games. Franklin Graham, also an evangelist, was speaking to reporters Friday during a visit to Beijing for meetings with the Communist Party-controlled Protestant church movement. Isn't that interesting that the Associated Press says Communist Party-controlled Protestant church movement? Billy Graham, Ned Graham, and the others say, well, this is the open church. It's out in the open. That's what they call it. He, Franklin, said he wanted to encourage authorities to resolve conflicts with the church, but would not criticize policies that critics say limit the church's independence and religious rights. While some Christian groups have said they plan to proselytize during the August Games, Graham said he was against that because the Chinese law does not permit such actions. I would not support any illegal activity at all, Graham said. The Chinese law doesn't permit it, you see. Now, I remember in the Bible, Paul talking about praying that the gospel would have free course. That's the law we need to be following. We're to go to all creatures and preach the gospel. But Graham says, oh, no, no, no. Don't you dare come into China and preach the gospel. You have to obey what these red bosses tell you. And it goes on, talks about all the harassment and arrest of Chinese Christians at this time, and of course it's still going on. Then Franklin goes on, says he thinks the government of China is seeing the value of personal faith that people can have, and so I'm here to encourage that, Graham said. Now, how is the government seeing the value in the faith that people have when they're arresting them? The AP has a litany of things here, ministers arrested, Bible studies broken up, people thrown into jail. And he says, I'm not here to condemn, Franklin says. I'm here to work with them, that's the government, and to help build better bridges of understanding between Christians and the government, yes, which Christians. And then he was scheduled to speak at another church. Now, here we have an article from the Christian Post, and this is Bob Fu. You heard from him last week, and he has something to say about Franklin Graham. Maybe I should just read this. We're reading a lot. I hope you're not going to get listener fatigue. American evangelist Franklin Graham came under fire this week for saying he opposed evangelism during the Beijing Olympic Games. It talks about that and what he had said. In response, a respected religious freedom activist defended Chinese house church Christians as law-abiding patriotic citizens who are not doing anything wrong except following their faith, which teaches them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Christians cannot and will not concede to a faith moratorium in order to please an atheistic government during the Olympic Games, even if that means enduring imprisonment and torture, said Bob Fu, president of China Aid Association, in a statement on Wednesday. Fu, who was recently honored by President Bush for his religious freedom advocacy in China, denounced the Chinese law as unjust because it asked Christians to go against the teachings of Jesus Christ. He called Graham's comment about submitting to the ban on Olympic evangelism a deep offense to the hundreds of house church prisoners and their family members. Now, hundreds is the number here. It wasn't the number that Bob Fu gave. No doubt there are more. And then it goes on, talks about the state church apparatus that we've been talking about. Bob Fu says to the house church leaders, it's an issue of the lordship of Christ to the church. And if the church ceases to do evangelism, is it the true church? It's a big question. Well, Bob Fu has already answered it. The true church in China has already answered it. But apparently Franklin Graham has also answered it, but answered it wrong. Well, let's move on now. Let's move on to some website information from the Red Chinese State Church apparatus, in this case, the China Church Council's website. We have here a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association delegation. It says visiting CCC, China Church Council, / Three South Patriotic Movement, TSPM. And we see an article here, and we see there's this gala event, several of them. They are wining, they are dining, they being the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association delegation and the Red Chinese State Church bureaucrats, if you will, the various figures from what, you know, what we've been talking about, that whole apparatus. And there they are. I mean, they're all dressed up all fancy and they've got all this scrumptious food and these are banquets and they're wining, dining, toasting. Lots of photos for the propaganda mill. Lots of smiles, lots of handshakes. It says on the morning of June 7, 2010, Reverend Franklin Graham, president of BGEA and CEO of Samaritan's Purse, led a delegation of 13 to visit CCC/TSPM. And by the way, the date here is 2010. It speaks of the chair of the National TSPM, the president of the CCC, the vice chair of the National TSPM, the secretary general of the National TSPM, the general secretary of the CCC, I mean with all their names, the general secretary of the CCC and other colleagues of the CCC/TSPM receiving the visiting delegation. And parting with them, apparently, so to speak. Going down through here, it says Reverend Graham is not only a good friend to the church in China. This is these are in essence the communists talking now, but also has shown his concern to everyone that is in need. Elder Fu, this is obviously not Bob Fu, different Fu. Elder Fu said that it's the basis of communications and cooperation. This is a translation from Chinese. And it helps to promote the friendship and various ministries of both sides. Now, I said it's a translation from the Chinese. Why would they put English up anyway? Well, of course, this is part of their propaganda machine. Reverend Graham also expressed his happiness to visit China again and regarded it a privilege to count God's grace with, quote, his counterparts in China. The Religious Affairs Bureau officials that were there, and then those other officials we talked about from the state church apparatus. Then they had a Chinese reverend give a brief account of today's church in China, express his respect and greetings also to Reverend Billy Graham, the founder of BGEA. And then after the meeting, I'm jumping down through here, Franklin Graham gave them $100,000, and then after the meeting, gifts are presented, photos are taken, and the delegation was invited to visit the bookstore as well as the restored Holy Trinity Church. Enough of the Grahams. You get the picture, of course. And, of course, other celebrity-type evangelicals, so-called, have also been busily playing the stooge, perhaps we should say the harlot, for the communist Reds. There are mutual benefits in all of this, of course. Here's Amity News Service. Of course, this again is the China Church Council and the TSPM. It says TSPM, China Church Council delegation visits churches in the United States. This is in 2004, so we're going backwards a little bit. There's a reason for it. I remember this event and we reported on it. The CCM, TSPM, it says in August 2004, held a Chinese Church Bible Ministries exhibition in Hong Kong, the first time such an event was held outside of mainland China's borders. Then it says that a CCC TSPM delegation traveled to the United States between the 2nd and the 26th of February 2005 in order to begin preparations for holding, and this is what I remember, for holding a Chinese Church Bible Ministry exhibition there in early 2006. The delegation included, and here's all the different names. Some of these are familiar. I believe we confronted some of these as I'm going through this at those events we told you about. But anyway, the usual suspects, president of the China Christian Council, the executive, general secretary of the China Christian Council, head of the CCC, TSPM overseas, and it goes on in that vein. It's all these different same kind of people we've been telling you about. During the visit, delegates traveled to Washington, D.C., Charlotte, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Colorado, and Atlanta. People they met during the visit included former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, Reverend Billy Graham, Reverend Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, Dr. Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral, talk about the usual suspects, Reverend Richard Cizik, Vice President of the National Association of Evangelicals, and it goes on. They have the President of the American Bible Society and the General Secretary of the National Council of Churches of Christ in the USA, Bob Edgar. It says in Colorado Springs, this was during that same time, delegates attended, I thought I remembered some of these names, a 2.5-day executive forum on ministry in China, attended by 120 representatives from different churches and church organizations across the United States. That's the one we were at. That's the one where we confronted them on behalf of our persecuted brethren, on behalf of our Lord. While visiting with Reverend Billy Graham, the famous evangelist commented, "I'm thankful for the news of the exhibition of the Bible that will be brought to the United States, this propaganda tool." He goes on, "We're certainly delighted that this is going to take place, and we will be praying for its success." Here's another one. I'm probably, you talk about listener fatigue, you've probably got it by now, but I'm going to keep going. Here's an article translated from the China Christian Council. Bill Hybels visits both China Christian organizations. It says in 2011, May 16th, the U.S. Willow Creek Community Church senior pastor, Willow Creek Association chairman of the board, Reverend, they give the Chinese translation, but then in parentheses, Reverend Bill Hybels, with his colleagues visited both China Christian organizations, Christian, the Chinese Christian Three South Patriotic Movement, so on and so forth, and all of the different people are there from China. We've been telling you about all of the puppets and all of the you know, red so-called Christians. And they had a forum, and it talks about that, and this is what I want to get to. And then it talks about one of the Chinese leaders says he hopes that through this visit and communication, the mutual understanding can be increased. Also, that more American believers and the general public will understand the church in China the way they want it understood. It says the Reverend Hybels expressed appreciation for the warm reception, et cetera, and how he was moved by the worship. They had a worship service. He felt a lively faith of the believers of the church in China, saw the faithfulness of the church, and will bring these beautiful witnesses back to their church in America. There it is. That's what they want. Well, Bill Hybels wouldn't know faithfulness if he saw faithfulness. If some people are walking around smiling and peaceful seeming and talking about Jesus, no matter if it's a different Jesus, Bill Hybels thinks he's seeing faithfulness, probably because that's what goes on in his church. The two sides also discussed how to improve their own quality of clergy, how to strengthen the friendly cooperation of the future, and so forth. And then I won't go through this one too much. It's another article from this website run by the CCC TSPM Bible Ministry Exhibition to be held at Willow Creek Community Church. And this is dated June 30th, 2011. So that's pretty recent. And I'll just jump down to the bottom. In appreciation of Reverend Hybels' support, the CCC TSPM is going to have the exhibition held in Willow Creek on October 16th. We welcome the community to rejoice with Chinese Christians, the almighty work by God in China. How many more of these? Here's another one. I'm not going to read all this. It's about the same event. And here you have Dr. Jeff Tunnicliffe. Talked about him 2 weeks ago. He was a signer and an author of that document, The Christian Witness in a Multi-Religious World, Recommendations for Conduct, the executive officer and secretary general of the World Evangelical Alliance. And he's promoting the same thing and how we have to work with these Chinese communists. All right. I have one more thing I want to share. As I say, I don't necessarily enjoy all of this reading, and I hope I'm not fatiguing you with it. But for those of you who are still out there, Those of you who are still listening, I have one more thing to read. Actually, it's two parts of one whole. I'll try to skim through it. But I want to include this because it concerns Josh McDowell. It's very relevant to our topic the last couple weeks and, of course, this week and certainly next week because we're going to be speaking about that man next week. That man's affinity for persecutors of our faithful brethren, because that affinity has been on display here in America recently as well. Now, real quickly, I'm just going to just skim through this. I mean, you're getting a view of something that, you know, it's behind the curtain, so to speak. It's behind the iron curtain, so to speak. And what's going on and this betrayal and these evangelical personalities going over there and getting their books there and getting things they can write in their fundraising reports and getting their own reputations pumped up, all at cost to our persecuted brethren in China and, of course, the cause of Christ. Now, this is off the CCTSPM website. You've heard enough about those organizations by now. I won't do more than give their initials. And it is dated 2010. It says, on the morning of September 3rd, 2010, John, someone from the Josh McDowell, I guess it says the vice president of the Josh McDowell Ministries, and along with some companions, led a group of five that visited CCCTSPM and had a meeting with the leadership of CCCTSPM. And then you have all the different people listed that greet him. It's all the leaders of that state church apparatus. It says it has been for many years that CCC and TSPM first got into cooperation with Josh McDowell Ministries. I'm reading it directly as it was translated by the Chinese for propaganda purposes in English. Elder Fu expressed the wishes to have further collaborations in the future. So many years now, Josh McDowell Ministries have been working hand in hand with these people. He also introduced to visitors about the present church situation in China. That's for them to take back, that propaganda report. Mr. John mentioned that the purpose, he's the vice president of Josh McDowell Ministries, that the purpose of their visit this time is to seek common opportunities to publish more materials with CCCTSPM. And he extended an invitation to CCCTSPM to send some colleagues to visit McDowell's office in Dallas. He said that Josh McDowell would like to pay a visit to CCCTSPM sometime next year. And then after the meeting, gifts were presented, and guess what? Photos. More photos were taken. All right, the last thing. The last thing, as I try your patience. The last thing off of the CCCTSPM website, and I'm thankful to the people that work so hard to get me all these things. All I have to do is report them. Dr. Josh McDowell and his colleagues visiting Shanghai. This is dated 2010 as well. It says, on the noon of May 26, 2010, it wasn't too long after this other visit we talked about, Dr. Josh McDowell, a famous American writer, led a delegation of eight people to visit CCCTSPM. Talks about all the big wigs from the Chinese church state apparatus that were there. Dr. McDowell is a famous apologist and has written many well-known books. Jumping through this, Dr. McDowell was very glad to hear that his books are so welcomed by Chinese readers and wished he could strengthen the friendship with the Protestant church in China and Chinese Christians as well. The state church again. The whole period for Mr. McDowell and his delegation visiting China is around 10 days, and their first stop was at Hangzhou, second at Shanghai, and last at Beijing. The main purpose for his visit to China is give lectures on apologetics to seminary students. Can you believe it? He is going to speak and was speaking to these people. And he was following, of course, the Chinese rules. You don't say this, you don't say that, you don't say this, you don't say that, you don't preach this, you stay away from that part of the Bible. By the way, we'd like you to also say this, this, and this to strengthen our hand, in reality, to persecute the true church and to advance a false church. After the meeting with Reverend, there's several reverends here mentioned, Chinese reverends, Mr. McDowell and his delegation visited Eastern Theological Seminary and did a lecture there. Well, that's it. It's not a very enjoyable topic. I hope we've made some points. I hope we've given some insight. I hope we've roused you up a little bit to realize what's going on here and how despicable it is. And it's not only, I say this sort of despicable thing is not just happening over in China. There's that same mindset over the here, that same spirit. We've seen it when it comes to faithful Christians, for instance, properly and faithfully sharing the gospel out in the streets, and then city officials get upset, or perhaps, as we're going to talk about next week, Muslim officials get upset. Then you'll see these same people saying the same sort of things if it is that it's going to be to their advantage. Well, the Bible says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So these are not enjoyable topics, but we need to deal with them. Well, we're out of time, but remember to pray for our persecuted brethren. Help them as you can, and have nothing to do with those who prey, P-R-E-Y, that is, upon them, such as the likes of those we've been talking about.